is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Well, hello, everyone. We are back. I'm pretty sure that this was the shortest week in history. I feel like we were just here. Is that not true? Has a full 7 days actually gone by? I'm not sure.
It has, but yeah, I don't know where it went.
Yeah, I don't either.
Very confused.
Where did it go? Erin, any clues?
No, but I will say that on the way over here, you did say, what did we just talk about last week?
That is true.
It's been a busy week.
It's been very busy. Wow.
That's why it seems like it went by
right.
So fast.
Yes, something. Golly. It's hard to believe. Time flies, ladies and gentlemen. Time flies. So today, with me as always is Erin. She's already chimed in a little bit here. So today we're going to be talking about some things. We're going to talk about steps for a healthy life. So when we were prepping for the show, I'm like, okay, let's come up with a outline of a few things, because for those of you who don't know me, I get a little ADD'd and can veer off track relatively easy. That's why Erin is here to make sure that we don't go down a rabbit hole too far. But steps for a healthy life, I mean, it's a good topic. And the reason it is because we have to talk just a second about the mess that the country is in. We are in a dire, dire mess. And I'm not talking about, you know, typical things that you watch and you see on the news. I'm talking about the fact that 2/3 of us are overweight or obese, right? 200 plus million people in this country are overweight or obese. We have extremely high rates of diabetes and heart disease. 100 million of us has diabetes or prediabetes. Half of us die from some type of heart disease. 50 million of us have at least some form of autoimmune disease. And some people even think that it's 100 million. I don't know. That's maybe neither here nor there. That's a lot of folks. And let's not forget about the just over the moon levels of depression. But it kind of makes sense that we're so depressed. I mean, let's think about that. I just ran through some just horrible, horrible things. Of course we're depressed. We're dying slowly from chronic diseases that are pretty much preventable. Erin is just staring at me again.
Well, this is like, a really uplifting show so far.
Where are we going? We started off laughing about it being a full week since last episode. And then I just bring us down into the Debbie Downer. So, sorry about that. But it's true. I mean, and the problem, I think, is that modern medicine is pointing it out, and that's all they're doing. They're just saying, oh, yeah, there's a problem, but they're not really doing anything, not bringing any solutions to the table, right? We walk through the grocery store, we see aisles and aisles and aisles of sugary-filled foods, right? And then we're reminded when we flip on the TV, the commercials are saying that this food is part of a balanced diet. There's no possible way. There's no possible way.
Yeah, well, I think that when you really come down to it, though, and that's why we wanted to do a show on this, it's not that complicated.
It's because I go off on rants like this.
Right, exactly. The whole purpose of the show today is to get down to the basic steps that you can follow to make sure that you're living a healthy life, because it doesn't have to be that hard. I think we sometimes make it complicated because there are so many options out there. There's so much information coming at us. And that's the purpose of this show, is to kind of cut through all of that and tell you, okay, what do you actually need to know and focus on, and kind of let the other things go in one ear and out the other. So we're going to break it down to six simple steps.
Six. She broke it down to six, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I didn't. You did. But
well. Yeah, kind of. And we combined a few. There were probably 50 steps to go through, but six are manageable.
All right, 50 doesn't seem nearly as simplified.
No, it's really not. So six of them. So let us hear the six. Throw the six out there, Erin.
Okay, number one is feed your body.
Okay.
Two is heal your gut.
Simple enough.
Three, supplement wisely.
I have nothing to say after that one.
Four, manage your stress.
Mm-hmm.
Five, get enough sleep.
Mm.
And six, move your body.
We all love sleep, right?
So we're going to go through each of these.
All right, if we have time. We're going to try to get through each of these. She looked at me like,
I will focus you as much as I can.
It's because I get long-winded. All right, so let's start out with the first one. What was the first one? Feed your body?
Yes.
All right, so it seems very easy that we could just feed our body, right? So it's simple. Eat foods that are actually good for you, eat foods that can actually nourish your body, and eat foods that are high quality. So in a nutshell, I'm talking about eating organic, the dreaded organic. A lot of people, as soon as I say that, one of the first reactions, and I'm sure some of you out there is like, oh my God, it's so expensive to eat organic. I can't eat organic.
Well, I think, first of all, eating organic implies that we're eating fruits and vegetables, right?
Well, that is true.
So maybe we need to back up a little bit and say.
It's true. We have a little Newman vile weed eating broccoli stuff going on here for the Seinfeld lovers out there. I mean, yeah, eat organic. I mean, it's not that difficult. Yeah, it may cost a little more now, but it's a whole lot cheaper than it was 10 years ago to eat organic. And the more we as consumers drive the food manufacturers that direction, the cheaper things are going to be. I mean, literally, have you priced chronic disease lately? We talked in the heart disease talk of a couple, 3 weeks ago. A heart attack costs about $750,000 in direct and indirect costs. I mean, eating organic is way cheaper than that, right?
Right. Well, and I think we do want to back up for just a second and say that, you know, eating fruits and vegetables, eating real food is, I guess, the biggest part of this. You
right.
know, not eating packaged things. But even those of you who are eating a lot of vegetables and, you know, trying to eat healthy, if you're not eating organic, it can make a difference. And TJ, right. why don't you tell us why?
She just kind of threw me under the bus there. So I'm a big proponent of organic. And very quickly, critics pop up and say, well, there's no research that backs up that organic is any healthier. And you're right. You're 100% right. There's no research out there. But the better question is, why is there no research out there? And let me tell you, it's because there's no funding for that type of research. There's nothing glamorous for a researcher about actually spending their entire life searching for things that actually make the human race healthier. It's the money is being spent on devices and things that we can do to cure these preventable diseases once we already have them. Well, newsflash, ladies and gentlemen, I highly doubt that in our lifetime we're going to find a cure for some of these chronic diseases after the fact. We have to focus on prevention. And a big part of that prevention is eating the foods that we're supposed to be eating. Not eating foods covered with pesticides. Shoot, back in 2010, the president's cancer panel actually came out and said, hey, guys, we need to avoid foods that are covered in pesticides and things and insecticides as much as possible. And what's funny is I was looking at this, trying to find this little information. I found a Wall Street Journal article that addressed this in 2013. It came out in 2010, and then we find the article popping up in 2013. Now, I'm sure there was something written about it in 2010, but how slow of a week was it in 2013 that a Wall Street Journal guy had to say, yeah, let's go searching through the bowels and depths of research and figure out an article to write on this week? I mean, really?
Right.
Really. I just don't get it. So anyway, back to organic. Eat organic. If you can't eat organic, at least eat fresh. At least eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Hang out in the produce section. Find a new fruit or vegetable. Something that you
can you not eat frozen?
Well, you can. That's the second best.
What
it's better than canned?
It's organic frozen.
If it's organic frozen, it's better than if it's conventional frozen. I mean,
okay.
there are levels and grades to this. I mean, you know, but again, but there comes a point where you're just saying, okay, well, what if I trade off this for this? And what if I trade off that for that? Next thing you know, you've traded off your health. So stay with fresh, ideally organic. That's the best way to go.
Right. And the focus here, like you said, is to try to prevent some of these chronic illnesses that we have. And it does seem it's kind of nonsensical that we're putting so much money into finding cures for these chronic conditions that could actually be prevented by eating food that isn't covered with chemicals.
Right, exactly. So another thing we can do is eliminate sugar, flour, and bad oils. Okay, these types of foods are things that promote inflammation. And for those of you who are unaware out there, inflammation is basically the root of pretty much all disease, definitely all chronic disease. So with sugar, believe it or not, Americans consume 150 pounds of sugar a year. That's a person worth of sugar. And it comes out to about a half a cup a day. Think about that. A half a cup of sugar every single day of the year, 365 days a year. And flour, almost all the flour that we eat is wheat flour. It's a problem because we have more and more people that are gluten intolerant. They can't handle it. This intolerance basically affects every single part of the human body. This is kind of why people come in with all kinds of different symptoms. They've gone to all kinds of different specialists because of these different types of symptoms. They may be irritable. They may have joint pain. They may be constipated or have diarrhea, skin problems, vision problems, brain fog. They're tired. They can't sleep, or they sleep all the time. They've got autoimmune things. I mean, gluten can affect all of that. Aaron's staring again. Not really sure. She's like, oh, God, TJ, you got down in the rabbit hole again. Please get out of the rabbit hole.
Well, no, and I totally understand the gluten. I guess what about the oils?
Yeah, oils. So there are good oils, there are bad oils. We know good oils, things like coconut oil, avocado oil. Bad oils are things like safflower oil and corn oil and canola oil. They're just not good for us. They're very high in omega-6s, and they're in pretty much every single processed food out there.
So why they're not good for us because of omega-6s?
Yeah, we get our omega-6s and our omega-3s out of balance. That's a whole show in and of itself. Omega-6s are pro-inflammatory oils, whereas omega-3s are anti-inflammatory oils. So try saying that 10 times fast. I screwed it up trying to say it slow. But yeah, so we get these things all out of balance. And you know, we really have to look at quantity versus quality. We're sacrificing quality of food for eating quantity of food. We're eating more calories than we did 30, 40 years ago. We're more obese than we are. These calories that we're consuming are empty, processed food calories. We're just not eating as healthy as we could.
Right. Well, and I think that that's a great point that you brought up, because when you're eating real food, when you're eating meats and vegetables and things like that that we know we're supposed to be eating, you don't typically eat as much.
Right.
I know, you know, I mean, if you're eating a packaged food, not only are you probably eating more calories, or maybe you're not, but you're going to be hungrier a lot sooner.
Right.
So it's,
yeah, you're going to be starving 20 minutes after you eat that.
Right, because they're empty calories. They're not actually benefiting your body. It's not giving your body the nutrients that it needs.
Right. Right. So, all right, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to move to step two, which was, what, remind me of step two, was that?
That's heal your gut.
All right.
I want to address sugar before we move on, but we'll do that quickly
when we come back. So we're going to touch on sugar a little bit when we come back, and then we're going to get to heal your gut. This is Wellness 101. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about steps for a healthy life.
And we're still in step one.
Yeah, we're still in step one. Well, I'm not sure we're going to make it through. We're gonna try. Things are going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. Aaron's got to keep me on task. So before we left for the break, we were talking about feed your body, and we were going to move on to heal your gut. But you had a question that you wanted to ask.
Well, okay. So you had mentioned that we're eating, as a country, we're eating way too much sugar. And so I guess my question is, you know, why is sugar so bad for us? It seems like not that long ago we were hearing, you know, as long as you're not eating too much fat, you're fine. And so now it's sugar, and it just, are we just kind of going through these phases where something is going to be the, you know, be blamed and be pinpointed as the culprit, and then we're going to find out 10 years from now that, oh, wait, sugar wasn't all that bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, actually, it's a little easier than the whole fat thing. Those of us who are on the other side of the fat debate years ago, we were like, look, fat's not that bad for you. This is why your body has to have fat, et cetera. So, but back to the sugar question. So it's a pretty simple answer. Sugar's inflammatory. It causes mineral balance to be affected. It causes our blood sugar to go up. It causes leaky gut. It causes our immune system to weaken. And it changes how we absorb protein. And I can't even begin to tell you how many people that come into the Institute that, one, don't eat enough protein, and two, are eating enough sugar that it's really affecting the protein that they are eating, and they're not really absorbing it. And protein is extremely important for our body to be able to repair and heal itself. So, I don't know. Sugar's bad for us. It's basically dry leaves on a fire is really what it is.
And that's not, I mean, I understand that for someone who has diabetes, but just for a normal person who doesn't have any known condition, you're still supposed to be eating less sugar?
Less sugar, yeah. Less sugar than 150 pounds a year.
Right, but when you said a half a cup, I guess, you know, when you think that that goes across, I'm guessing, all age ranges, then it seems a little high. But I also think, I don't know, it doesn't seem, I guess, like that much to me.
Yeah, it's not at a half a cup a day. It's not a lot when you think about it. But if you put a 150-pound pile of sugar in
right.
front of someone.
Well, then it's clear. Yeah, maybe that's.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. It's
right.
It's pretty black and white.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, the next step. So, heal your gut. So, let's move on to heal your gut. Otherwise, you're right. We're never going to get through all six of these.
Yes.
Back a couple thousand years ago, this guy is a pretty famous guy. His name's Hippocrates. He was credited with saying that all disease begins in the gut. So the gut is extremely important. It has about 100 trillion microorganisms that live inside of it. And just to kind of put that in perspective, that's 10 times more cells than make up a human body. So our gut has a lot of good bugs in it. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but they're in balance and they're all there for a reason. And our gut makes up 75% of our immune system. So this fact alone is why our gut is so important to our overall health. It's extremely important. Without a healthy gut, we can't be healthy. So the question becomes, why are we as a country so chronically sick? And a lot of it has to It's very easy to answer if we just go back to the gut.
We've known this for thousands of years.
Yeah, traditional Chinese medicine even went back to say that, and that's even farther. I don't know if I'm sure there's some Chinese medicine guy that said, you know, all disease begins in the gut as well. That's something that they kind of teach as well. So it's been around for a long time. We've known it. And so with all these bugs in our gut, and they get out of balance, and that invites sickness in, there are a lot of things that can cause our gut bacteria to be out of balance. Medications is a big one. Antibiotics destroy the gut bacteria. Birth control destroys it. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories destroy it. If we eat lots and lots of sugar or highly processed foods, not getting enough fiber, chronic stress. Stress is a big one. Oh my gosh, stress is a huge one. And then things like chronic infections, stuff that we don't even really pay attention to yet in, you know, traditional medicine. And really, it's only in the functional medicine world that you really start talking about people that have chronic infections. But with the whole leaky gut thing, you know, I mentioned it before and I'm mentioning it now. I remember back when you would say leaky gut or someone would say leaky gut, and we'd basically get laughed out of the room. And it's kind of funny. I've actually had patients tell me that they told their doctor that they were working on their leaky gut, and their doctors would tell them that there was no such thing. Well, credit to those doctors, you're right. There really is no such thing as leaky gut. Leaky gut's just a term that was used to describe intestinal dysbiosis.
So you're saying that it's not like an actual diagnosis?
Yeah, it's not an actual diagnosis. The actual diagnosis is intestinal dysbiosis. But it's no different than saying that high blood pressure is not an actual diagnosis either. The actual diagnosis is hypertension. We're just using a different word to describe the medical term. I mean, nobody goes around and says, I had a cholecystectomy. No, they say, I had my gallbladder taken out.
But it is an actual leaky gut is
it's like an actual thing.
It's an actual thing. It's just
yes.
the common
It's the term common term for it. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So what is it? Because it sounds disgusting.
Yes. it kind of is a little disgusting. It really messes with our health. So for those of you who may not have ever heard of leaky gut or not really sure what that is, our digestive tract, our whole system from mouth to anus is a hollow tube, right? And it goes the entire length of our body, and it's a barrier that keeps things out of our body, okay? sometimes the cells that line this barrier get a little weakened and they can become, quote, leaky. And that's where things can get into our system. And our 75% of our immune system is in our gut. So if things get through there, all it really does is aggravates our immune system. And when we start triggering our immune system by these things that are coming through where they're not supposed to be, this is how we end up with autoimmune disease. It's pretty clearly identified now in research that leaky gut is a huge trigger for autoimmune disease.
Okay. I have a few questions.
Awesome.
All right. So if your body is functioning properly, the food goes in, it's in your gut, is processed basically, right?
Yeah, it's broken down into its tiniest particles.
Okay. And so some of that gets into the bloodstream, right? Because isn't that how you get nutrients out of food?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's broken down properly, it goes through and the immune system is not triggered because it's in the tiniest little molecule that it could be. It's when it doesn't get processed all the way and it's a bigger molecule, it's a bigger protein that comes through, that's when the immune system gets triggered and it doesn't like it.
Okay, so if it's proper, it goes out and it is able to get through the gut wall?
Yes.
And so it's when, for some reason, we don't have, it's not, I don't know, I'm envisioning like mesh or something, but like if it's too, it's not tight enough and...
Yeah, imagine a fence and you're trying to keep your cows in your fence and you open the gate. The cows can get out and get where they're not supposed to be. The same thing happens with food.
Okay, so that happens, and then so you've got just like particles of food that are like all out in your body?
Yeah, these are still microscopic. They're still little bitty teeny tiny things. I mean, we're talking about, you know, very, very small pieces, but it's proteins that get through, and it's these proteins that if they're not broken down the way they're supposed to be broken down, if they're only partially broken down, that's when it triggers the immune system. The immune system does not like that. It's like, oh, wait, this isn't supposed to be here, not in this form.
So, okay. So then the immune system starts attacking these things because they're not supposed to be there?
Correct. And your immune system and your body starts confusing these foods or these proteins that are getting through with actual tissues in the body. And so it may confuse this protein that leaked through with thyroid tissue, and all of a sudden you've triggered autoimmune thyroid disease, or it confuses it with, you know, other tissues in the body, and so then your immune system starts attacking that.
Okay. I have another question.
Sure.
So I guess my thinking is, because thinking about food sensitivities and how prevalent those have become, so if you eat broccoli and a broccoli molecule gets out, then does your body flag broccoli and start
creating sensitivities to broccoli?
Is that what happens?
That's basically,
actually?
Yeah, that's basically what happens. That's okay. Very good. You connected the dots.
I'm trying here.
Yeah, you should have. If you could have just seen her face, ladies and gentlemen, her eyeballs got great big. The light bulbs came on. It's a glorious thing.
I'm really happy that you said I was right, because I was just waiting for you to be like, no, that does not make any sense at all whatsoever.
No, that was actually very good. And the same, I mean, I see the same look on a lot of patients' face when they come in and I start explaining this stuff, and it just starts to make sense to them. And they get explained, oh, wow, this is how we heal it. We eliminate those things. We heal and seal the gut, and then we put all this back together. Then we make sure that the flora and the microbiome, which is just a fancy term that is caught on now, it's all the same thing, the good bugs in our gut, we just get all those things back in balance, and the body starts to heal and repair itself and take care of itself.
And that makes sense why you have said you've got to heal the gut before we start giving you probiotics,
right.
Probiotics, because if you still have leaky gut, probiotics, you're basically kind of wasting your money at that point, right?
Basically. Just... Yeah, and there are two trains of thought there. There's a couple sides of the fence of that. Some people say, go throw the probiotics at it. But the other side of the fence that I stand on is getting larger in that, you know, it's better off to heal and seal the gut first and then repopulate it. It makes a lot more sense. I mean, you're not going to put your cows back in the field without fixing the fence first.
Right. You're not going to just keep buying cows and putting more cows there to try to get
exactly,
you know, to
right.
The right number of cows when you know you're losing a few.
That's exactly right. All right, we got to take another break. We're not doing a very good job of getting through these six. We're gonna have to speed it up a notch. When we come back, I believe she said step three was
supplement wisely.
All right, perfect. So when we come back, we're going to talk about supplementing wisely. You're listening to Wellness 101.
This is Wellness 101.
Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. If you're just tuning in today, we're talking about steps for living a healthy life. We've gone through feed your body and heal your gut very quickly, but very, very important components. And now we're going to step into supplement wisely. I am of the belief that pretty much everyone on the planet needs supplementation. And I sometimes catch a little bit of flack for that. But, I mean, if we lived in a utopian environment where we all got along, where we weren't stressed, we weren't sick, we ate whole foods, we were all breastfed, we had no medications, we slept 10 hours every single night.
And we're breastfed by healthy mothers.
Yes, being breastfed by healthy mothers for a couple of years. And if we had a job that we loved and coworkers that we actually got along with that were supportive, I mean, we may not need supplements, but that's not what happens. That's not even close. So instead, what happens, in my opinion, we go to bed late. We get up early. We skip breakfast because we're late. We eat a crappy lunch on the go. We guzzle down caffeine in the morning to get us going, and then we guzzle down more in the afternoon to keep us from crashing. We have to go through rush hour traffic to get home. We then have, as soon as we get home, we're taking our kids to whatever activity they're in after school. We get home late. Then we grab something quick for dinner. We either eat something that's not as healthy as it could be, or we grab something like, you know, pizza or sandwiches on our way home. Then we make sure we've got everything ready to go the next day, and then we fall into bed and get 5 to 6 hours of crappy sleep, and we start all over. Sounds pretty familiar to most of our listeners, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's also uplifting again.
I know. It's very uplifting.
Very positive.
Drop the hammer and then make them all smile. Wow.
So how can we fix it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, in that scenario that I just explained, that I'm sure resonates with a bunch of people out there listening, how likely is that person to have enough B vitamins or have enough vitamin C or get enough antioxidants or pick a nutrient, any nutrient? How likely is that person to have enough of what they need to actually get by? And I want to stop right here and I want to talk for just a second. If you think that 100% of your RDA of any vitamin or mineral is all you need to be healthy and well, you're just fooling yourself, because all those recommended daily allowance numbers are just simply whatever it needs, a human body needs to not have the disease associated with that deficiency.
So basically you're saying even if someone is taking a multivitamin, they may not be getting enough of vitamins?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
So because they're not taking enough. If they're just taking one that's 100% of everything.
Okay.
That was my sound effect.
Yeah.
Not Liz's.
Yeah, thank you for your medical opinion on that.
You need to heal your gut.
So, okay, a number of questions. I guess, so do you recommend that people take a multivitamin?
Yes, if it's a powerful enough one. If they're just taking a multivitamin, yes. But most of the time, we need other things, too. We need supporters. We need people in supporting roles.
Okay, so because I'm constantly reading about, you know, well, like Dr. Oz recommends you take this supplement or, you know, that women of a certain age should take this. I mean, how do we know exactly what to add in then?
Well, you got to have somebody on your team that actually knows supplementation and knows what's going on.
So we shouldn't be guessing?
Yeah, we shouldn't be guessing. Speaking of guessing, so several years ago, I had a lady that came in as a patient, and she had all these problems. She was complaining about hurting all over. Her vision was all messed up. She had crazy skin issues, and she managed to bring with her sack. I mean, an enormous sack full of all the supplements that she was taking. And I amused her. I'm like, okay, well, let me look through all of this. So I started adding up the nutrients that she was taking. Come to find out, I don't remember the exact number, but it was well over 500,000 IUs of vitamin A that she was getting every day. 500,000. Now, I'm all about mega dosing vitamins. Don't get me wrong. I think done correctly and in the right ways with the right person, you can do a lot of really cool things. But most of the time, I don't recommend more than 25,000 IUs of vitamin A. She was taking over 500,000. She had severe vitamin A toxicity. When I told her that, I didn't even have to run a test. I just looked at her. I'm like, you have vitamin A toxicity. You need to back off and not take this stuff for a couple of months. She literally looked at me like I had three heads. So I went over to the computer. I printed off a form that showed what the symptoms of vitamin A toxicity were. She's like, oh my gosh, I have every one of these. I'm like, I know you do. You're taking 500,000 units of vitamin A.
Why was she taking so much?
Because she was reading on the internet. Everybody was saying, oh, if you have this, take this, it'll help. If you have this, take this, it'll help. And she kept adding to her pile of nutrition. I don't know when she had time to eat, quite honestly.
Well, and I do want to say, though, I mean, vitamin A is one of the vitamins that you can take too much of, right?
Because there are a few that you can take too much of.
Yeah, there are a few.
But so anyway, after I told her to quit taking them, I'm like, come back in a couple of months. Let's set you up an appointment in a couple of months, and then let's sit down and talk and see how things were going. Well, like 3 or 4 weeks later, she made an appointment. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't know what's coming. And because I was nervous, I thought, oh, gosh, she's still having the same issues. I wasn't sure what to expect. She walks in. She was nothing but smiles. She was so excited. She said, I quit cold turkey, everything I was taking, and pretty much all of her symptoms had gone away at that point. I mean,
wow.
Sometimes people take too much.
Right. But, I mean, that's frustrating because clearly she was trying to do what was going to help her.
Right. Right. So that's exactly right. She was listening to everyone else tell her what she needed to do instead of having one person tell her this is the path that you need to go on.
Okay. So I guess I have a couple of things. First of all, I know we've talked in here a lot about IV nutrition, and
yes.
I'm guessing IVs are the easiest way to get to supplement, right?
Oh, absolutely. The easiest and the fastest. I mean, we can deliver
because
nutrients.
Because you know you're getting it.
You're getting 100% absorption 100% of the time.
Okay. And then that was my other question is, I mean, can people just go and get a vitamin, you know, a multivitamin over the counter? And will it help?
Yeah, that's a good question. So not all vitamins are created equal. There are different qualities, levels of quality of vitamins. There are different forms of vitamins. I mean, it's no different than, you know, comparing cars. You have a, I don't know, pick a little cheap car, a Geo, you know, Geo Metro. We had those running around for a while. A Geo Metro and a Ferrari. They're both cars, but they are not the same. The same can be true for dietary supplements. There are forms and dosages that are extremely important than just going and buying something over the counter. It's full of binders. They're full of fillers. Some of these binders are actually gluten-filled, so these vitamins could have gluten in them, and you don't even know it
and create a gut problem. That was something that I think was really surprising to me was that, okay, not only are you maybe not getting the vitamins and, you know, minerals that you think you are out of a supplement you're taking, but it could actually be harming you.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not sure, you know, that I don't need vitamins and minerals. I don't need this or that, or I don't need something else. Well, that's kind of crazy because in that example that I was just talking about where people wake up late and they, you know, rushing throughout their day and they're stressed beyond belief, you know, then they get sick and then they have the audacity to say, well, what did this to me? I didn't see this coming. Well, we don't treat our cars the way we treat ourselves, right? We don't let our car get completely empty. We don't let the gas tank get completely empty. We're watching the gauge. Well, your body has gauges too. The gauges that your body have, though, are things like gaining weight, body aches and pains, headaches. These are things that we have to be paying attention to. These are telling you, there's a dire warning sign saying, something is wrong, fix me.
Right.
And then we have the audacity to say, it's not because I'm missing a vitamin or mineral. Hogwash.
Yeah.
Again, technical term.
Well, I think you're right on the one hand. I also think that there are a lot of people who aren't feeling well. Maybe they're gaining weight and they've gone to their doctor. And it's not that they are just ignoring the signs. They have gone and they've brought it up maybe to more than one doctor and they've been told there's nothing wrong with you. So I think there are really two problems. There are people who are ignoring it, and there are people who have just not gone to the right place.
Right, because a lot of doctors out there haven't been trained in this sort of stuff. They're not trained to in nutrition. I mean, your average medical doctor, they just don't get the nutritional training that that other doctors go and get. I mean, I went and got all of my training after I graduated from school. I went and just spent hundreds and thousands of hours. That's what I spend my nights doing, is reading research and looking through this stuff. That's what I do. I live it. And so if you've got a question about it, call me, ask me, shoot an email. I'll give you the right answer.
Right, right. And I do want to say we really appreciate all of the emails and questions that we've gotten from people through the show. That I think that's great. And, you know, we appreciate the questions and all of the feedback. I also want to say before, because I do know that we need to take a break, but just with your Ferrari Geo example.
Yes.
If I was listening to this, my thought would be, okay, I get that a Geo isn't the same as a Ferrari, but if I have to get myself from home to work, I need something that's going to do it. And not everyone can afford a Ferrari. Yeah, I would love it if I was able, you know, if you put those two cars in front of me, I'd say, oh, I'd pick the Ferrari. But if I have to pay for one of them, I would pick the Geo. It would get me there. So it's basically, you're not saying they're both going to get you to the destination, though. You're saying, like, you know, this one car might blow you up on the way there.
Right.
The other one will actually get you there.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I didn't tell you that the Geo was a rust bucket that had 400,000 miles on it with no gas tank and only one working cylinder.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah, it absolutely does. All right. You're right. We got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to somehow
get through three.
We're going to just slay these next three: manage stress, sleep, and moving. All right. This is Wellness 101.
Turn it up. Somebody save your soul, 'cause you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles, all these lovers got you.
This is Wellness 101.
Welcome back, everyone. So Aaron was chastising me a little bit, saying we have to get through this. So it's going to be her job today, this last segment, to keep us on track and motor through steps 4, 5, and 6, because I'm 100% convinced we can do it.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was supposed to be keeping you on track this whole time, and we
failed.
Half of them to
Completely failed.
So manage your stress.
Manage stress. Ready, go.
Ready, go. 8.5 minutes. Go.
8.5, go. All right. So managing stress. We're all aware that stress is out there. It doesn't matter how well you eat or how much you exercise. If you can't manage your stress level, you are at risk for all kinds of degenerative things. You're at risk for heart disease, diabetes, thyroid problems, autoimmune conditions. I mean, I see people all the time who are meticulous about what they eat and making sure they get plenty of exercise, and yet they still are sick. It happens.
Right. Well, it makes sense, because I know that, you know, in my own life, as hard as it is to make dietary changes and get myself to the gym, managing stress is so much harder than that, because it kind of goes against your basic behavioral patterns of how most of us are.
A big chunk of it, in my opinion, is dealing with time.
Right.
We get stressed out about time. And you know, I ask people that say they don't have time, I oftentimes say, okay, well, bring out your calendar. Let's see how your day is mapped out. And 90-ish% don't actually have a calendar with their day mapped out with what they're doing. You're never going to get on track if you don't have your day exactly mapped out. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So what does stress do to your body?
So basically, stress can affect the body all over, okay? The stress response is something that's handled by our adrenal glands. Our adrenal glands, for those of you who are unaware, are little walnut-shaped glands that sit on top of our kidneys, and they secrete hormones. They secrete things like cortisol and epinephrine and norepinephrine, and these things help regulate the stress response. So pretty much our adrenals are what's helps us determine our ability to tolerate stress. So they're also, because they help us tolerate it, they're also what is affected the most by stress.
So when you say stress, you're talking about like work pressures, family obligations,
yeah.
And
traffic, money. I mean, those are big things that affect people. Losing a job, extremely stressful. Moving, if anybody out there is moving, that's one of the most stressful things that we can have. I don't know if you said it, loss of life, someone close to us dying. It's an extremely stressful event. All of these things are going to affect your adrenal glands, right? But there are a lot of things that affect our adrenal glands that we don't think about. Things like fluctuating blood sugar. If we eat a lot of sugar, our blood sugar goes up and it goes down. Well, we don't necessarily feel that on the outside. It doesn't create a sign or a symptom that we notice. It's internal that it's just affecting our body and creating problems. It's just wreaking havoc
on
us.
So, like, food sensitivities are, I know,
huge.
I bring those up, but I'm guessing then your adrenals are constantly trying to fight the stress of you eating things that you're not supposed to be eating.
That's exactly right. Just, I mean, environmental toxins too. I mean, we are exposed to thousands of chemicals every single day. A lot of times before we even leave the house, we're exposed to things.
So is this something that you see a lot in practice, that people come and they've got their adrenals are too taxed too much? I don't know.
Yeah. Yes and no. So, yes, in the fact that it's that they're stressed. The fact of an adrenal actually being, you know, fatigued, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. What I know is, you know, you can't just focus on those stress hormones and those things and say, oh, well, if I just fix my stress hormones, everything will go away. Well, no, it won't, because there are a lot of things that go into the manufacturing and production of those stress hormones. There's a lot of things, vitamins and minerals that are needed, enzymes that are needed. There's a lot of protein that's needed. Just jumping in and saying, oh, well, I can just fix these stress hormones and everything will be fine. Well, that's not going to work. That's like saying if I just fix my high blood pressure, all of my heart disease will go away. That's not true.
Right. Well, I guess, and that's really, as a functional medicine practitioner, that's what you do, is you look at the whole body.
Yeah, so you have to look at the whole body. And so you have to fill the body up with all of the nutrients that it needs. You can't just look at one little thing. I mean, if you're just going to look at one little thing, go the conventional route. At least it'll be covered by insurance.
Right. So if people think stress hormones is, if that could be a problem, you still want to go to someone who is looking at the whole body.
At the whole body. Same thing can be said for thyroid. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who say, oh, well, thyroid's the answer to everything. Well, it is until it isn't.
Right.
And then you got to figure out what went wrong.
Exactly. Well, so, and yeah, if you're going to go to someone who just focuses on a thyroid, like you said, go to a medical doctor who, I mean, at least then it's covered by insurance.
Yeah, and likely.
Right. You want someone who's going to look at, you know, fix what is causing your thyroid to be off. Well, then go to someone who isn't promoting just fixing a thyroid.
That's exactly right. Which makes no sense.
Right.
Even Liz is over here chuckling and laughing. So where were we? You got to keep me on track.
Right. Okay. I think we need to move on.
Okay.
I don't know how much we did with stress, I guess.
Well, not enough. We're going to have to come back and do an entire show on stress, which is perfectly fine. So
yes,
that's something to look forward to you for all you listeners out there. Liz is very excited about stress. She's a little stressed. she's a little stressed. She's here working on a Sunday. She's very stressed. So the one of the other ones is sleep. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we're going to try. You can't be healthy. There's no possible way to be healthy if you don't get enough sleep.
Right. It's when your body repairs itself.
That's exactly when the body repairs itself. That's why when we're sick, we want to sleep. That's why when we're wore out, we want to sleep. Our body has to try and heal and repair itself, and it really does its best work when we're asleep. And if you have cortisol that's all off, your stress hormones are all out of whack, you're not going to sleep well. If you don't have enough protein in your body, when you sleep, you're not going to get quality sleep because you're not going to be able to heal and repair yourself. We just have to do better. And unfortunately, for a lot of you out there, you're actually going to have to train yourself to sleep. You're going to have to declutter electronically your lives. You need to stop messing with your cell phones and stop watching TV and get that blue light out of your face an hour before bedtime.
Right. And they call that sleep hygiene.
Sleep hygiene. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, but it really does make a difference, because I was someone who had a lot of trouble sleeping, and I kind of thought it was silly when it was brought up that, well, maybe it's what you're doing in the hour before you go to sleep, but it does make a huge difference, and
it
has to become a priority.
That's
think
right.
is
And have a routine every night, same routine, over and over and over again. Go to bed at the same time. Get up at the same time, even on Saturdays and Sundays.
And the last thing is move your body.
Move. There is nothing, there's no pill, powder, or potion that anyone can give you that can do more good for your body than getting off the couch and moving your keister.
And we're not just talking about going to the gym.
Right.
And I am guilty of this. I sit at my job. I sit for long hours, and then I will go and run. And that is not the best way to handle it. The best thing to do is to get up every once in a while and just move, walk a little, and so that you're not...
Be the positive force that everyone... I just talked to a patient the other day and said, hey, you know, you go and watch your kid at practice. Get up and go walk around. They're at soccer practice or baseball practice. Walk around. Be the positive influence that everyone else is seeing. Be that positive influence, because you may never know. You may positively affect someone else. They may get up and say, you know what, I'll walk with you. And look, you've just helped someone else. If you want to help others, do that.
Right. Even just standing helps.
Yeah. I'm standing while I'm talking here at this show. So, anyway. All right. We do not have a lot of time. We are running out. We filled this entire hour. So, if you want more information, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can follow us on all of our social media outlets there. If you or someone you know or love needs help, call us, 314-293-8123. We will do absolutely every single thing we can do to help you. So, for Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening. You don't even know. I can make your hands clap.